Increasingly, the division between those people who believe in free speech and the open exchange of ideas, even make that especially ones they disagree with, and those that favor censorship of certain points of view, is arguably the most significant issue in society today, one that certainly fuels anger and exacerbates other divisions in society. I mean, there's no one who's participated in what's called the cancel culture who doesn't understand that. They understand that it stokes anger, exacerbates divisions in society, but for them, it's not a bug, it's a feature. They believe that those that don't 100% adhere to their agenda have no place in society, at our universities or our public schools or the mainstream media. For example, you remember when David Suzuki, and he said it on more than one occasion, said that politicians who don't agree with him on climate change should be thrown in jail. Well, that's no different from the cancel culture mob saying that those that don't adhere to their agenda shouldn't have a job or a place in society. Now, personally, I believe in free speech, even things I don't agree with. No, I believe it. But the evidence suggests that I'm in a shrinking minority. Our politicians, the media, educational establishment never tire of declaring their commitment to diversity. But come on, the evidence is overwhelming. They don't support a diversity of views and opinions. I mean, it's becoming so pervasive in some disciplines on university campuses that a group of over 5,000 professors, administrators, staff, and students formed what's called the Heterodox Academy in 2015 with the mission, in quotes, support open inquiry, viewpoint diversity, and constructive disagreement in research and education. Well, I do wish them luck, but they didn't form that because there wasn't a problem. This week, Blacklock's reporter chronicles the story of University of Ottawa professor Amir Adiran, who in his testimony before the Commons Health Committee criticized Canada's health agency and Prime Minister Trudeau for the COVID response, only to find out later that his chances of receiving research grants from the agency were about zero. This is a regular complaint we hear by many academics who question the prevailing government narrative on prominent issues like climate change or COVID. And by the way, it's not like criticism of the public health agency wasn't warranted, for goodness sakes. A compelling argument can be made that no government agency made more missteps during the pandemic. I mean, they failed to do their specific job. This is what they were supposed to do, prepare a pandemic response plan. They didn't. How about this? 6 months or so before the pandemic, they destroyed 8.9 million pieces of protective equipment, including masks, gloves, and medical gowns. And as the Auditor General, Karen Hogan, reported, the agency repeatedly failed to respond to problems that have been identified for years. But the point is, Professor Adiran's experience has been repeated numerous times when it comes to challenging the government narrative. As well-known climate scientist Judith Curry states, in quotes, research and other professional activities are professionally rewarded only if they're channeled in certain directions approved by a politicized academic establishment. Come on, this past week, Johns Hopkins professor and surgeon, member of the National Academy of Medicine, Dr. Marty Makary, stated in quotes, there is a modern day McCarthyism in science whereby researchers who question certain sacred cows assumptions using the scientific method are bullied by their universities and worry about their future National Institute of Health funding. I invite you to think about that. Not even a global pandemic has reversed the trend of, in quotes, approved lines of inquiry. In fact, it's worse. And is there a more anti-science attitude than don't question the status quo narrative? Yet we have no shortage of people declaring, follow the science, without a whiff of concern over the full frontal assault that's been taking place. As Leighton Woodhouse observes in quotes, I believe in science has come to mean I do not question expert authority, which is antithetical to the scientific spirit as you can get. The more gravely the line is in tone, the more Orwellian it becomes, end of quote. Now, the good news is that the mainstream media has seen an exodus of very well-known writers like Barry Weiss, Glenn Greenwald, Andrew Sullivan. They left their jobs to go what Ms. Weiss calls an orthodoxy. Whereas Alberta talk show host Danielle Smith stated in resigning earlier this year, in quotes, over the last few years, too many topics have become unchallengeable. Let me give you another example of how fast the attitudes toward free speech are changing. Think about this. It was just in 2015, the aftermath of the murders at the Paris magazine Charlie Hebdo, you had politicians, members of the mainstream media, and the vast majority of the public making a major show of support for free speech. All over the internet, there were messages, pictures of people holding signs that read, "I am Charlie Hebdo. We are Charlie Hebdo." I mean, come on, how many times over the years have you heard commentators repeat the cliche, "I may not agree with what you have to say, but I'll defend to the death your right to say it." Well, we're only 6 years later. It would be absurd to suggest that's the prevailing attitude now. Instead, as Barry Weiss observes, and thousands of others, by the way, have experienced, there's a prevailing orthodoxy that you pay a price for challenging. Yet not many people seem concerned, which is why I'm bringing it up today. No questions allowed? Punishment for challenging the prevailing government or social narrative? Well, come on, that's profoundly anti-progress. It used to be one of the fundamental distinctions between a democracy and a totalitarian regime, but increasingly, that distinction's being blurred. You know, at first I thought maybe increasing censorship is one of the things that you get concerned, but only once it impacts you directly. Then I realized it already has for most of us. Come on, I think we can think of opinions that we have on subjects that we wouldn't dare bring up at work or in social situations. I mean, we've already been censored. And do you think it's only Barry Weiss or Danielle Smith or others like Glenn Greenwald in the mainstream media who've experienced it, or Judith Curry, Roger Pelkey in climate science, or Dr. Marty McCarry or Canadian Dr. Kavinder Kaur who've experienced the efforts to silence debate? Well, of course not. But they're the courageous ones who speak out. An example to every one of us who is worried about the assault on free speech. Well, I hope you join them before it's too late.